Made in the UK for HR consultants worldwide. You're listening to the HR Marketing Guys podcast.
Hello, James here, and welcome to this week's podcast. I got asked this question last week. Can I grow my consultancy when I don't have the time to do client work? And if so, how? My answer is 100% yes, you can. And in this week's main event, I'm going to explain exactly how you can do it. And in this week's Thought of the Week, I'm going to ask you if your to-do lists are helping or overwhelming you. I love me a good old to-do list, and I'm going to explain how you can supercharge your productivity by managing your to-do lists in a slightly different way. So let's jump straight in.
This week's main event.
A client got in touch with me the other day for some advice. She's currently working a few days a week for a big company, and the rest of her time is spent working on her own consultancy. She's got a few clients that are ticking over in the background, and her plan is to keep on growing her consultancy until there's enough money to pay for her to go full-time. But a curveball has been thrown her way. The company she's working for has some really big projects coming up, and they've begged her for more time, and they've basically said, name your price. So she's negotiated a great package, and she'd be really silly not to take the money, but she feels torn. She knows that she has to take the money, but she also knows that by doing so, it means putting her big, long-term goals on pause. And this doesn't sit right with her either. So she asked me for a phone call and we had a chat. The big question she asked was, can I keep growing my business when I don't actually have time to do any client work? And if so, how? To which I replied, yes, 100% you can. How? Well, you'll be forced to grow your consultancy in the way that everyone should be doing it. Whether you're working part-time or full-time in your consultancy, and whether you're a startup, independent consultant, or consultancy owner. So let me explain. So in my business education, it's been drummed into me that you should grow your business in a way that doesn't trap you inside. When it comes to growing your consultancy, you can either create a prison of your own design, or you can create a business that provides you with personal and financial freedom. Your time shouldn't be spent swallowed up delivering client work. It should be spent driving the business forward. And if you want to take a few days out or a week, your business should be able to tick over just fine without you being there. This is, I'm sure, the business that you all strive to create when you started out. You probably started your consultancy because you wanted better work-life balance, and you wanted to take back control of how you lived your life. So think about your consultancy right now. Have you created a prison of your own design, or have you created a business that provides you with personal and financial freedom? It is a really interesting question to ask yourself, and sadly, most consultants I speak to have trapped themselves inside their business. As the principal HR consultant, they're so busy delivering client work that they don't have time and energy for anything else. And this is already having an impact on their personal lives. Isn't it the dream to get the money coming in without having to actually do the work, or at least dip in and out as you please? Well, whether you're growing your consultancy alongside another job, or you're working as an associate for a few days a week, or you're full-time in your consultancy, this is how you should be growing your consultancy. Instead of thinking that you're the one responsible for delivering client work, I want you to think that you're the face of the business and you're the middleman between client and delivery. Think of yourself as the broker. I know a few really successful consultants that have grown their business in this way. They're taking around 300 to 500k a year. They've pretty much worked off an associate model all of this time, and they simply broker the work to other HR consultants and take the profit. They hold the relationship with the client, but they simply delegate the work to other people, giving them the time to be the face of the business and drive it forward, while still taking home a big chunk of revenue each month. Sounds great, doesn't it? So how can you start working in this way? It all comes down to what services you're offering and how you're packaging yourselves up. You see, HR is actually really difficult to package up. It's not like accountancy where you have set deliverables. The world of HR is huge, and there are so many different levels of service that you can provide. And most HR consultants I know go into business and basically say, look, I can help you with anything. And then you try and sell this big bulk of HR work, whether that's a big project or a big monthly retainer. And it's just really labor intensive. So this is how most consultants approach selling their services, because they don't know any different. Instead, I want you to think about how you can break HR down first. And to help you, I created a new framework called the HR Service Pyramid, which you've probably heard me talk about before. So at the bottom of the pyramid, you have admin, you then have advisory, management, director, and then specialist at the top. You need to think about your services in the eyes of your clients, not necessarily how things are delivered. So admin is basically HR software. Advisory is day-to-day advice. This is your advisory helpline kind of thing. Management is the operational management stuff. Director is the strategic management stuff. And specialist is stuff like investigations, 2P, and all of that jazz. So now that you've broken HR down via the different levels of the service pyramid, there are four different revenue types that you can use to package them up. The first is passive revenue, the second is subscription-based revenue, the third is time-based revenue, and the fourth is one-off revenue. And the goal is to use all four revenue types to create a balanced hybrid business model. Now, each revenue type belongs to a different level of the HR service pyramid. So admin, if you're focusing on HR software, is perfectly suited to passive income. But as soon as you add in any sort of management, then this will become subscription-based. Advisory is definitely the level that is subscription-based. Management may be subscription-based, but most likely time-based, and you might like to get a retainer in here. Director is time-based, maybe one-off work too, and specialist is also time-based and one-off work. So instead of going into a business and trying to sell this huge chunk of work at management or director level, which so many of you tried to do, again, very labor intensive, my advice is to start at the bottom of the HR service pyramid and to think about value stacking the different levels of HR on top of each other. So for instance, you would go into the business to try and sell HR software first. This is easy to market and easy to sell, so it's easy to get your foot in the door fast. You would then sell them your advisory helpline, and then you'd upsell a HR audit, which is your gateway to offering customized work at management and director level. This is how you should be selling HR, and I'm really confident that this is the right approach because my clients who are following this guidance are getting results and sales fast. So let's just take a second to think back to where your goals are. Whether you're in your business part or full time, the goal is to sell work that doesn't suck up all of your time. And you need lots of predictable monthly recurring revenue to pay for everything. So thinking back to everything that we've just discussed, doesn't it make sense to start selling HR software and your advisory helpline first? Money-wise, these levels are packaged up as passive and subscription-based revenue, which is perfect. You should definitely focus on generating this type of revenue as your first priority anyway. This type of work can easily be delegated to an HR assistant or another HR consultant, and they'd do an awesome job at looking after the client. And this type of work is much easier to market and sell. You can easily broker this type of work alongside your current commitments to the point where there's enough money to pay you to go full-time in the business or make another level of investment. So going back to the original question that my client asked, can I keep growing my business when I don't actually have time to do any client work? And if so, how? The answer is 100% yes. Instead of thinking that you're the only one that can deliver client work, you can easily act as a broker instead. And if you package up your services in the right way, you can actually build an awesome business that provides you with lots of cash in a way that doesn't trap you inside. So in this week's main event, you've heard me talk about the HR service pyramid and how HR should be packaged up. And I'm really excited to be in the final stages of creating my flagship video program called How to Package Up and Sell HR. Blood, sweat and tears have gone into creating this program this year. I've worked with a huge group of consultants to field test this approach, and they're getting results fast, which I'm absolutely buzzing about. This video program will include guidance on the HR service pyramid. There'll be templated admin, advisory, and peace of mind packages that you can use. And there will be a promotional deck that you can use in lots of different ways. Whether that's in discovery meetings, to send alongside your proposals, or to help guide any of your marketing, like your website. Honestly, there's so much awesome value going into this video program, you won't want to miss it. To make sure you get notified when this video program is available, please go to my website, thehrmarketingguy.com, go to the HR Growth Academy and join my update list, and get yourself a free marketing action plan poster while you're there.
James's Thought of the Week.
If you're anything like me, you love creating a to-do list. My brain is constantly swelling with ideas and things that I should be doing. So over the years, I've learned to dump everything into lots of different to-do lists. My whole life feels like one big to-do list. Sometimes it's annoying because I feel like I can never chill and I kind of feel guilty if I'm not doing something. But then I think my to-do lists are cool because they're driving me forward in every aspect of my life, whether that's personal or for the business. You probably feel the same way. I've also learned I have to be very disciplined with how I manage my to-do lists. Otherwise, I can become very easily overwhelmed and lose sight of what my priorities are. And I kind of got to that point a few weeks ago. So I decided to block out the morning, sit down with myself and get myself back on track. And honestly, I felt awesome afterwards. You know when you give your house a really good deep clean and organize all of your drawers and stuff? It feels great, doesn't it? Well, that's exactly how it felt. And it inspired me to ask you this question. Is your to-do list helping or overwhelming you? And in today's Thought of the Week, I'm going to share the process I've gone through to supercharge my to-do list and make me super productive. Hopefully giving you some inspiration to do the same. Okay, so the first thing that you need to do is align your daily actions with your big goals. So the whole point of your to-do list is to help you achieve your goals, right? And in order to do that, you have to constantly prioritize the actions you need to do in order to get you one step closer to your goal. So before you can start organizing your to-do list, you need to decide what your priorities are going to be. And at the start of each month, I create a small list of things that I want to achieve that align with my big goals. And then on a weekly and daily basis, I can think of what I need to do to get there. Once I've created my priorities, I then organize the entire to-do list via two headers. So the first are current priorities, and the second is my to-do backlog. So I always work off my current priorities list because this is the most important stuff that I need to work on. Anything else that I need to do at some point goes into the backlog list. This is the easiest way for me to safeguard my to-do list from overwhelm and low priority tasks. Within my priority to-do list, I then break everything down into the tiniest tasks that I know I can get done that week. So there's loads of names flying about for this, and I like to use the term micro-tasking. Once I've broken down the jobs into tiny tasks, I then only list the tasks that I know I'm going to do that week. So when I was focusing on launching the HR marketing box in the US, yes, there are 100 things that I needed to do, but I just listed the two things I knew that I needed to get done that week and kept my to-do list for that goal super simple and clean. So by breaking my to-dos down into the smallest of tasks and by keeping my to-do lists very small, I was way more inclined to get started, and it feels great to tick them off once completed. So this is another productivity hack for me and a great way for me to reduce overwhelm. And once you've got into the habit of working in this way, you need to check in with yourself on a regular basis and give your to-do list a good old tidy up. So whenever I feel like overwhelm is creeping back in, I go on a to-do list cull. I go through it, I reorganize it, and reduce it down to the most important tasks that I need to do next. And again, it just feels really, really great. And then the biggest cardinal to-do list sin that I always try to avoid is creating to-do lists in lots of different locations. So I was really naughty for this. As you're busy working away, out and about, it's very easy to start creating to-do lists wherever it is quickest to write your thoughts down. So I had them on Basecamp, I'd email myself, the tasks section of my Gmail would be full, notes on my phone, my paper diary, and my notepad. It got really, really bad, so I made a pact with myself. I'd only ever use Basecamp, so this is my project management software, to manage all of my to-do lists for every aspect of my life. And since doing this, I feel way more organized and on track because everything I need to do is saved and prioritized in one simple place. So let me recap. To supercharge the productivity of your to-do lists and to reduce overwhelm, remember to first be clear with what your goals are, and then create monthly, weekly, and daily priorities. Organize your to-do list via current priorities and whack everything else into a task backlog list. Then you can break everything down into the tiniest tasks possible and only list the things that you can do that week. And then also find one way to manage your to-do lists and stick to it. So hopefully that's given you some inspiration to give your to-do lists a spring clean. Have a go and let me know how you get on.
You've been listening to the HR Marketing Guys podcast, helping you to get new clients and create a life you love.